The Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals presents the timeless teaching of Dr. Donald Gray Barnhelm.
We have to learn by ourselves, and that's the process of the Christian life, to unteach us the things that we have taught ourselves in order that we may learn the things that God wants us to know, to realize that everything comes from Him. And that if we try to have an angle, if we try to say, well, we'll get by, ultimately we find that the things we have most desired leave us with the greatest emptiness.
Over a half a century ago, the late Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, then pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, saw the need to spread God's word beyond the hearing of his local congregation. He started the weekly radio outreach which has become known as Dr. Barnhouse and the Bible. The application of God's word as taught by Dr. Barnhouse is as relevant today as when he first taught it over the radio airwaves decades ago. The message we will be featuring on today's edition of Dr. Barnhouse and the Bible is entitled, Our All-Sufficient God, Part 2. Do you like classical music? How about country or bluegrass? Or perhaps jazz, folks, blues, or southern gospel? There are many different kinds of music, and yet there is still another that you will never find in any music store. Do you realize that if you are a believer, the Lord rejoices over you with loud singing? We see the love of Jesus in His death on the cross for our sins, but do we really understand that He delights in us so much it makes Him sing for joy? The scripture text for this edition of Dr. Barnhouse and the Bible is Zephaniah chapter 3 and verses 17 through 20. Here again is Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse with a message entitled, Our All-Sufficient God, Part 2.
The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in His love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. Verse 20. At that time I'll bring you home, at that time when I gather you together. Yea, I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. And my first point is its first line where it says, the Lord thy God. And I speak to you of Him in His person. His person. The Lord thy God. He's the one that's going to do all this. We can't do it. The Lord thy God. Oh, when we think of Him. You know, it's wonderful how many times He tells us that He alone is God. There is none like unto me, He says. Without me ye can do nothing. In second place, what this verse teaches, in the midst of thee. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. This is applicable to us, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee, the church. And surely He is. But in addition to that collectivity of the Holy Spirit being in the midst, the Lord is inside of you. He said to the disciples, the Holy Spirit dwelleth with you and He shall be in you. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of God the Father, the indwelling of Christ the Son is one of the most wonderful truths in the Scripture. His person, the Lord thy God. His presence is in the midst of thee. And then his power, a warrior, a mighty man, a warrior. It's wonderful to know that we have somebody that can meet our needs for us, that can take up the cudgels to fight for us, that can stand out in front and meet our enemies. How is it that we're to overcome? We read it in the book of Revelation. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It was by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, this is our hope. And then it was that the Lord Jesus Christ was standing out in front. And he it is, if we confide in him and put our trust in him, that he will stand in front to meet the need. I don't care what the need is. He is the mighty one. He is a warrior. I don't care what the foes are that are against you. He is a warrior, the mighty one. He has the power. You think that you can ever go beyond his power? If you're in a small jam, you learn that he has quite a bit of power. If you're in a bigger jam, you learn that he has still more power. If you're in a position where you are really up against it, you'll find that his power is still greater. And as your needs grow, so will your knowledge of God. He is mighty. He is a warrior. And then the next line says, in the King James Version, he will save. But in the Hebrew and in the Revised Standard Version, it's translated a warrior who gives victory. So thus we have his protection and his care, because we want victory. How many defeated Christians there are? Oh, how many, many Christians that live defeated lives. But he, the Lord our God, is in our midst, and he is mighty to save. He is the warrior who gives victory. And if you trust in him, you'll know it. Then in the fifth place, this verse says, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rejoice over you with joy, gladness. The Germans have a proverb, jeder Mutters Kind ist schön. Every mother's child is beautiful. And there's no doubt of the fact you get a young mother and she has a baby that may look like a beet that has been left in the refrigerator too long. But she looks at the thing with all the joy of life. Oh, that's her baby. How beautiful, how wonderful. Well, I'll tell you this. Our verse here tells us that's the way Jesus Christ looks at us. You who are a baby, you who neglect your Bible reading and prayer, you who are living in the daydreams instead of in the Word of God, he says, look, Lord, see my child. Satan might say, yes, but look at it. It's a retarded child. Oh, says the Lord, I know what it's going to grow up to be. He does, too. The mother doesn't know what her child is going to grow up to be, but the Lord knows what we're going to grow up to be. I can give you two verses that prove it. Ephesians 2:10 says, we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then there's Philippians 1:6, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then there's Proverbs where it says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And then there's Romans 8:29 that says, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Look, Father, there's my child. Turn over to the second chapter of Hebrews for a moment. You have here the picture of what happened when Jesus got back to heaven after he'd been down here for these 30-odd years. Now, it was a long time, you know, because a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And he'd been down here on earth 365,000 years times 30. That was how long it seemed to him, God away from the throne in heaven. But we can turn it around and say he's only been back in heaven 2 days, because soon he will come. But here in Hebrews chapter 2, it describes the Lord Jesus in verse 10 and 11. It became him. Any woman that ever had anybody say to her, my dear, that hat does something for you. It's so becoming. Can know the meaning of this verse. It became him. It suited him. It was like Jesus. It enhanced him. It did something for him. What? It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make their captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. The next verse, he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. And now down in verse 13, behold, I and the children God hath given unto me. He arrives back in heaven. Look, Father. Like a boy with the pictures of his children to show them off. If you ever go down to Florida, you'll discover that one of the commonest habits of the people down there are to compare pictures of their grandchildren. That's one of the pleasures of grandparents down in Florida. Yeah, you ought to see my grandson, my granddaughter, my grandson. They compare and show pictures. They're so proud. Well, this is wonderful. Here it is in Jesus. He got back into heaven and he displayed us, because there was a way, since in Ephesians 2:6 it says, God raised us up together with him and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. So in the sight of God, we're already there. And Jesus said to the Father, look what I brought from the earth. See what I brought. See my children that I brought. He loves us. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Isn't that wonderful that Jesus Christ loves us like this? I think I told you the story of the girl from Vermont. One night I got in an airplane at New York. I was flying to San Francisco. And I came a moment late, and the propellers were already whirling, and the stewardess took me in and put me in the last seat in the plane. And next to me was a girl, 20 maybe, and obviously it was the first time she'd ever been in the air, and she was very nervous. Over the loudspeaker they said, will everyone fasten the seatbelt? She didn't know what to do, and I had to tell her. As I fastened my seatbelt, and I says, is this your first time up? She says, yes. I said, where are you going? She said, San Francisco. This was during the Korean episode. And I said, going out to see your boyfriend? She said, my husband. She says, we were married for a week, and then he had to go to Korea, and he's been gone for 2 years, and I'm going to see him. And she opened the picture. Well, it looked like Calvin Coolidge at age 18. You know, Adam's apple and all. It was great big ears. It was a piece of Vermont marble, straight out of New England, Vermont. It really was. She held that picture up. She had one of these compact affairs, a handbag that was shaped round leather, and she opened the top of it, and there was this picture about 6x6. And she said, there he is. Oh, my. Nobody in this world was ever prouder. She was going to see the one she loved. And there he is. She was rejoicing. And this is the way Jesus Christ thinks about you and me. This is. Now this ought to do something for us. If you understand that Jesus Christ loves us this way, and that we are what gives him joy when we say yes to him, when we walk his way, when we allow him to be Lord in our lives, when we live his love before this world of hatred. When we understand that we are to be the Word made flesh dwelling in the office where you work, or the store, or the factory, the shop, the school. That there we are to exhibit Jesus Christ. He loves us. He will rejoice over thee with joy. I call your attention to Hebrews chapter 12, this remarkable verse that says what he was thinking when he walked to the cross. Oh, this is tremendous when you see in Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Joy? The joy of having someone lacerate your back with whips, tug the beard out of your jaw, press a crown of thorns down in your head, the joy of laying you down on two pieces of wood and driving nails through your hands and feet? Yes, he said. This is the price I'm paying for my bride, who for the joy that was set before him. This is the meaning of Isaiah 53:10, when it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Satisfaction in travail? Travail is the French word. Travail is the French word for labor. A labor union in France is l'union des travailleurs. And travail is the old English word, and we took travail from there and labor from German. Two words again, as so often is the case. Now we know that when a woman is in labor, and that travail is just the old usage of the kindred word from the other language. When he shall see of the travail, the labor pains he's talking about. A child is being born. Oh, says Jesus on the cross. But then he said in Matthew, a woman is in pain, in labor, in travail until her son is born. And then her joy is so great that she forgets all of the pain that she has just known. Now put those two verses together. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Satisfaction of labor pain in bringing forth you. Joy that was set before him, dying to redeem us. Now then you see what it means. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Sixth place, he will rest in his love. That's a bad translation. The Revised Standard Version here is 10,000 times better. He will renew you in his love. The idea of rest is there, but not that he will rest in his love and say, isn't this wonderful, I love, isn't this wonderful, I love, but that he'll see you and that he'll know that you have needs and that because of your love, he'll just keep on renewing you. He'll just keep on pouring in fresh strength. This is the meaning of Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This means that God is going to keep on furnishing us strength, moment by moment by moment by moment. Now God has made this so that if we just stop to think about it, we can see how dependent we are on him. Unless you have a very bad cold, there's probably nobody in this room that has thought during the last hour of the fact that you're breathing. But you've been doing it all the time. If you had had to say, now inhale, now exhale, now inhale, if you'd had to think of it each time, life would be so complicated we'd never get anything else done. But we go right on breathing, 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 breathing without any thought of it. And God renews us. He renews us every breath. I take in life and I put out carbon monoxide, death. Oxygen goes in, carbon monoxide goes out. We take in life, we put out death. If you don't believe it's death, read these poor stories in the papers of the child playing with the refrigerator in the yard and one gets shut in. And what happens? He kills himself with his own breath in about 30 minutes. We have to be renewed. Now what God does in renewing us by the holy breath, moment by moment and step by step, is because of his love. You can't overcome sin. You can't live in triumph. You can't do it by yourself. But he will give it to you. Here, my child, here is life for this moment. And now here is life for this moment. And now here is life for this moment. And if you need something more than breath, he'll give you the food. He'll give you the raiment, he'll give you the strength, he'll give you the courage. There hath no testing taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation renew you, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He is the victor. He is the mighty man. He is the warrior who gives victory, and he will renew you in his love. And lastly, he will joy over thee with singing. Now this is something in addition to showing off your picture when he got home. Back in the fifth point under this message, he will rejoice over you with joy but here he will joy over you with singing. It's a wonderful picture to think of Jesus singing, and yet he sings. I have found at least 3 verses in the Bible that say that Jesus sings. I'm not even going to think as to whether it's tenor or baritone or bass, because it says his voice is as the sound of many waters. I don't know what it'll be, but it's one of the things worth waiting for and thinking about, that one day we're going to hear him. And even now, turn back to Hebrews 2 and look how it says he sings in church. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I, Jesus, sing praise unto thee. Ah, now you can understand why some churches have liver music than others. You go to some churches and the organ has to pull out all the stops to cover the fact that the people in the congregation are, with Emily Post, politely murmuring praise unto thee. And you find this, they have the Church of the Incarnation and the Church of the Resurrection, and very frequently the Church of the Refrigeration. You know that hymn that says, come we that love the Lord and let our songs be known, join in the song with sweet accord and thus surround the throne. The second verse says this, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King must speak their joys abroad. How could it be otherwise when it is so with our Savior? Could he stop singing? Oh no, he said. Look what I got by my excursion to earth. I left earth and came down. And there I was for those 30 years, and men locked me up, even as Samson one night was tied inside the city, and the gates were closed. And Samson rose up in the middle of the night and caught hold of the gates of the city and carried them off with all the bars of the city. And the one who wrote, lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, put this in the third verse, reminding us of Samson. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. And he came out singing. Look, Father, what I've brought home. See my bride. He will joy over thee with singing. And the Hebrew says, as on a day of festival. In fact, the Revised Standard Version translates it, he will exult over you with loud singing. Because the Hebrew has several words. You can hum, and you can sort of chant along, but you can sing, and also you can give the shout, the loud singing, and that's the Hebrew word that's used here. And this is the one he's using of you. Doesn't it do something for you to know that you're so beloved? Doesn't it really do something for you to know that he came down from heaven to redeem us, that he went through this travail, that he went through this labor in order to bring us out for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? So as we go, let's just remember this verse and see in it himself, the Lord thy God. His presence is in the midst of thee. His power, the mighty warrior. His protection will save, will give victory. His pleasure, he will rejoice over thee with joy. His maintenance, he will renew you in his love. And his praise, he will rejoice with loud singing over you. You mean an awful lot to Jesus Christ. Let us bow in prayer. Oh, our God and Father, help us to realize how much we are loved. For we know that when we have understood this, we can answer back, since thou hast said we love him because he first loved us. We praise thee and rejoice over thee because of these wonderful truths. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you find yourself discouraged, down, or worn out by life? Rest in the Lord. Realize how much you mean to Him and allow Him to renew you in His love. We hope you have benefited from today's message entitled, Our All-Sufficient God, Part 2. Listen to additional Bible teaching by Dr. Barnhouse via the Internet. Visit us online at alliancenet.org. An audio copy of today's teaching is available by calling us at 1-800-488-1888. Again, request Our All-Sufficient God, Part 2, or simply ask for message number Q-140B. We would also like to make available to you a free copy of our booklet entitled Walking by God's Word. If you try to walk in the dark, you may hurt yourself or become lost. The same will happen if we try to make it through life without the light of God's Word. The Bible declares, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And this free booklet will help you apply the wisdom and light of the Scriptures to every area of daily living. Ask for your free copy of Walking by God's Word when you call or write. Dr. Barnhouse and the Bible is a radio ministry of the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals headquartered in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We exist to promote a biblical understanding and worldview. Drawing upon the insight and wisdom of Reformation theologians from decades and even centuries gone by, we seek to provide contemporary Christian teaching which will help equip believers to understand and meet the challenges and opportunities of our time and place. We also produce the radio broadcast, The Bible Study Hour, featuring the teachings of the late Dr. James Montgomery Boyce, and Every Last Word, featuring the Bible teaching of Dr. Philip Graham Ryken. For a complete list of stations carrying our programs, visit our website, alliancenet.org. Dr. Barnhouse and the Bible comes to you through the generous gifts of listeners like you. If you have benefited from the broadcast and would like it to continue, please prayerfully consider a donation to help us keep this ministry on the air. For more information or to make a contribution to further our work, contact us by calling us toll-free 1-800-488-1888. That's 1-800-488-1888. Write Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals, Box 2000, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19103. Visit us online at alliancenet.org. Be sure to ask for your free resource catalog featuring books, audio teachings, commentaries, booklets, videos, and a wealth of other materials from outstanding Reformed teachers and theologians, including Drs. Donald Gray Barnhouse, James Montgomery Boyce, Martin Lloyd-Jones, and Philip Graham Ryken. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for more classic teaching on Dr. Barnhouse and the Bible.